remember them. It's amazing we have one sister who has finished her race. And now looks forward to the crown of life at almost the same time that a new sister begins hers. Now, there's some incredible symmetry as we Christians grieve, but not like those who have no hope. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, if you open your Bibles, it's been a month since we've been here. It's been a month since we've been in this lesson, which is hard to fathom, but it's true. We are still in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We are looking at the latter part of chapter 6, and his sermon just seems to get more and more challenging as he gets deeper into his lesson. Tonight we're going to talk about how Jesus teaches in his Sermon on the Mount about living like kingdom people. What does it look like to live like kingdom people? And there are just some things that are part and parcel about being kingdom people. There are, if you're a kingdom person, this is something that they're going to be a part of your life. And he outlines two characteristics in our lesson tonight of what true discipleship looks like. One of those is loyalty and the other one's trust. If you are a true kingdom person, a member of God's kingdom, then you are a person who expresses loyalty and expresses trust. God expects his members to have both of these characteristics because they are necessary qualities for kingdom people. So that's going to be what we dig into tonight. So let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. It will be on the screen, but I'd love for you to read along with me. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin in verse 19. Jesus preaching, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, then, the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money," or God and mammon. Let's stop there. So in this short little passage we've just read, Jesus focuses on one of the most dangerous enemies that Christians have for absolute and undivided loyalty. If loyalty is a necessary characteristic for kingdom people, then what gets in the way? What is it that challenges our loyalty? And one of the most dangerous enemies to absolute and undivided loyalty is materialism. Not just money, but things. It's amazing how this lesson teaches in a first world country as rich as we are, and we are rich by any standards, any other country's standards, and how this teaches in a third world country where there's still materialism and there are still Satan works through their lack to feed the materialism in that country. But Satan works through our plenty to feed our materialism here. Countless distractions for you and me. I remember when I first was preaching in Kalispell, Texas. I was in preaching school and Jen and I would drive up to Kalispell and preach on Sundays. And one of the gentlemen there who, as according to our lesson this morning, he was one who was long in the tooth. He was full of years, as the Bible would say, and gained some wisdom to go along with that. And he said, "God has given us enough money so that we can entertain ourselves to death." That's true. Not third world countries, not so much, but we are so blessed that we can entertain ourselves to death. We can spend our time and our talents and our treasure pursuing power, or pursuing popularity, or pursuing pleasure, pursuing leisure, pursuing things. But the one distraction that true discipleship that is persistent and perpetual threat is materialism. And it's maybe not even an abundance of money, and it's not how much money's not the problem itself. 1 Timothy 6, it's the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil. And so Jesus, in trying to help his followers understand what's going to get in the way of you exhibiting the characteristic of a true disciple, he uses three different metaphors. He uses treasures, he uses masters, and he uses eyes. And he uses these three different metaphors to contrast the destructive nature of materialism with the preserving nature of loyalty. So verse 19, those who have stored up for themselves treasures on earth, I suspect that means worldly possessions, they're bound to lose their treasures. And my experience has been, in terms of material things, you can lose those at any time. And sometimes, it's often, you lose those sooner rather than later. How many people do you know? I'm not going to go there. I have a very dear friend who, even by our standards, is very wealthy. And he lives in constant fear that something's going to happen to use up his wealth, and he won't have anything left to leave for himself or his bride or his kids. He's got more money than I'll ever spend in a lifetime. And he stays up at night worried that he's not going to have enough to get him through. It's amazing. If things are your safety net, money, talent, possessions, popularity, prestige, if physical things are your safety net, there's never enough physical things to be safe. Most of us are one serious illness away from really real serious financial trouble. I remember having one guy one time, and this was years and years ago, back when I was way too young and not near enough experience to understand it. He said he was talking about losing a spouse, and he was saying it's easy for one person to die cheap. It's really hard for two people to die cheap. And what he meant by that is someone may die of a heart attack. They may pass quickly, but usually with two people in a family, one of them has prolonged health issues. And I thought, and he was experiencing that. He was going through it, and his peer group was going through that as well. And so there's this idea of if things are what give me comfort, I'll never have enough things because they can go away in an instant. Worldly possessions are subject to decay, where moth and rust destroy, he talks about. You hear this passage often at funerals. Worldly possessions are also subject to theft, where thieves break in and steal. How many of us have a security system at home? I do. Pay for it every month. Lock it up. Turn on the alarm. When Jenny and I went down to Texas, turn it on, armed away, and we're down there celebrating this wedding with this couple, and we both get a notice on our phone that one of the back windows on the back of the house says the seal's broken. Okay, what's going to be missing when we get home? Evidently, the Glenpool police had a quiet night that night because I called. I never heard back from them. I called back about 10, 15 minutes later to see if we still had a house. And I said, this is David Gray, and I was just calling to check. Someone was going to go check on our house. And I thought, I'll have to give them my driver's license number. I'll have to give them my street address. I'll have to give them my Social Security number, you know, my blood type. They're going to have to verify. They're going to have to verify who this is. And they go, oh, yeah, we've already checked. Everything's fine. It must be a slow night. There's David Gray. Oh, yeah, you're the only David Gray in Glenpool, and we've been to your house, and everything's cool. I'm okay with that. But for a moment, my mind was focused on stuff. Do I still have my stuff? How much of my stuff's missing? What's going to happen to my stuff? It's easy to lose. It's hard to come by. It's easy to lose. But if you look in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 6, now we have the other side of the coin, the proper place to store our treasures, and that's in heaven. Those who store up for themselves treasures in heaven will keep those treasures for eternity. Now, you need to help me here. What exactly are my treasures in heaven? Because I have looked for a direct deposit slip, and I can't find it anywhere. So you tell me, what is Jesus talking about when he's preaching about storing up? I'm pretty sure, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure he's talking about material things when he's talking about moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. I think he's talking about stuff, maybe money in that stuff. But he's talking about stuff, I'm pretty sure, and you correct me if I'm wrong. But what is he talking about treasures in heaven? What are those and how do I store those in heaven? How do I make my deposits there? Okay, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a treasure. Okay, and to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life that stays there, we need to be Christ-like here. We need to be His salt and His light. All right, excellent. Anybody else?
Our goals and desires.
Our goals and desires. Where do we spend our time and our talents and our treasures? We were talking in this morning's class, in the seeker class, and if you were in there this morning, I apologize for the rehash, but we were looking at some of the questions that Jesus asked, and this one was about the two sons, where the father told the one son to go do things, and he says, I won't do it. But later on, he went back and did it, and he tells the other son to go do it, and I will, but he didn't do it. And it turns out the son that was rebellious was the one who actually wound up being obedient, and the one who seemed obedient was the one who was rebellious. And we were talking about God is more interested in what we do than what we say. We can give lip service to God all day long, but He wants to see the proof in the pudding. You know, how do we live our lives? Where do we, and we talked about how do we know if our priorities are right? And two of the things we talked about was what does your bank account look like and what does your calendar look like? Who's got control? Who's got priority in your calendar? And who has priority in your bank account? So what are our goals? What are our priorities? Where do we set our... What? Spending time in God's Word. Spending time in prayer with God. God's Word speaks to us. We speak to Him in prayer. So that spending time in communication. This is something I just wrote to this afternoon as I was prepping. Keep your place in Matthew. Whoever did the Devo went long tonight, so my time is short. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. We're gonna dovetail off of what's already been said here. And let's see. Let's start in verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Donnell spoke of that. The dead were judged, so this is a judgment scene. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. That's interesting. So Donnell said one of the ways we store up treasures in heaven is have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is absolutely true. That's the book singular, but there's also books here, and I think all your translations read somewhat similar to that. We have singular book, the Book of Life, and plural books, the books of the deeds. So midway through verse 12, another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. One of the ways we store up treasures in heaven, and Riley touched on it here, is what are we doing for the kingdom? What deeds, I think in your translation say works. What are we doing for the kingdom? In the Devo we talked about, God's already given us the resources to accomplish everything He wants to accomplish here. Time, talent, treasure. Our job is to be good stewards of it. And since the time that we have on this earth, the talents we have, the treasures we have, all come from God, good stewardship means taking what He's given us on loan and using it to His glory. So what do our checkbooks look like? What do our calendars look like? Do we begrudge when a kingdom imposition comes binding on our calendars? Do we begrudge when a kingdom need comes binding on our bank account? How do we spend those things? What do we do with that? Where do we store up our treasures? James says it twice in chapter 2, verse 20 and 26. You know it. Faith without deeds is dead. It's not that we can do enough, that there's some magic line in the books that I finally crossed the line. It's like that last payment on the mortgage, the last payment on the car. Tear that stub out, send it in, done. I've crossed the line. That's not what the books are about. It's not about doing enough so that you stand before God and he says, man, you've earned your way here. Good job. It's about showing gratitude to God for the salvation he's given us in Jesus Christ. And let me just put it this way. If you gave someone the most precious thing you had to get them out of a jam, there's no way they can pay that back. One of the ladies who's my age in Texas, and that was a little bit different 10, 15 years ago when my age was 10 or 15 less than it is now. But her brother needed a kidney, so she gave him one of hers. There's no way that brother can pay her back for that. There's no amount of money he can pay her back for that. What's the best thing he can do for his sister when she gives him a kidney to prolong his life? What's the best thing he can do to pay her back? Live a life for God. Live a life that she would find worthwhile. Live a life that she would say, that was worth a kidney. I'm glad that kidney gives this life this much time. I'm glad that person was in the world here. That was a worthwhile investment. That's all God's asking for you and me. He's given us his son, his most precious gift, and we'll never be able to pay that back. He doesn't ask us to. What he wants to know is, do you appreciate it? Do you understand how lost you were without the blood of Christ? And do you understand how saved you are with the blood of Christ? And do you show that in the life that you live? Are you using the time that God bought you with the blood of Christ to give glory to God? That's what's in the books. So the way you and I store up treasures in heaven is being kingdom people, doing kingdom things in kingdom ways, giving our time and our talents and our treasures to God. All right. Now, verse 24, those who seek both God and money or mammon will end up losing both. Isn't that interesting? And he talked about love, hate here. And he's not using hate in the sense that I hate spinach. That's literal. It's a greater and a lesser. He's using bold language. He's using language to get your attention. It's a verbal language. He's using it. He's expecting to rattle some cages. But he's saying you have to have a different commitment level. We have to choose who or what we're devoted to, who or what we're committed to, who or what we are going to spend the time and the talents and the treasures that we have on, how we're going to spend it on them. I remember talking with a guy one time, and he came to the church building down in Texas, and he was looking for some help, and my heart went out to him because he was uncomfortable, and he was in an uncomfortable position, and no matter how much I tried, he was still uncomfortable in an uncomfortable position, but he was trying to I guess fill dead air, and sometimes it's just best to let dead air sit there. But he said, man, you know, I'd love to come to church. I'd love to be more active. I'd love to be a bit, but I've got to go to work, got to pay for it. I've got to support my family, you know? Well, I know Jesus said, don't worry about that. You put the kingdom first and God will provide for it. Oh, okay. That's really what God's getting at here. What are you committed to? What do you put first? What is first in your life? Are we more committed to worldly things, worldly possessions, what we want, more committed to godly things, eternal things, what God wants? So the only way a person can truly serve God is by being infinitely more committed to God and devoted to God than anyone or anything else, because you cannot serve two masters. Isn't that interesting? You try to serve two and you lose them both. And now we get to verse 22, 23, I think it is, with the good eyes and the bad eyes and with a guy with really thick glasses. This is an interesting passage. Those who see, okay, let's 22, 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. This is from the old NIV. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great, if your light is dark, how dark is your darkness going to be, basically. what's a good eye and what's a bad eye? I mean, we have good priorities and bad priorities, money and God. We have good accounts, material accounts, spiritual accounts, where you store your treasures. But what's a good eye and a bad eye here? Because the guy with two bad eyes, this is a pressing question. I'm sorry?
Is it what you focus on?
Okay, what are you looking at? Yeah. What do you focus on? Okay, that's a fun one, because how many times have you seen something in the road and you're driving your car and you look at that and go, I don't want to hit that. I don't want to. Boom, boom. And target fixation, right? You go where you look. That's worse on a motorcycle, because you don't really want to go over some things on a motorcycle, especially doing 60 miles an hour. I don't want to hit that rock. Well, better look somewhere else. Look where you want to go. Don't look where you don't want to go. All right. What do we focus on? What are we paying attention to? What else? Good eyes, bad eyes, dark eyes, light eyes. All right, see people the way God sees people? Oh. You mean that person that gets on my last nerve? I've got to love them like God loves them? Okay, Riley, that's enough contribution from you tonight. Yeah, what about seeing the world through God's eyes? Seeing people through God's eyes? Seeing our existence? Seeing me through God's eyes. And that doesn't mean seeing this wonderful, holy person. It means seeing this person that's broken and frail and sinner, and that Christ died for, and seeing that God knows my potential, and I know some of it, and even on the days when I don't live up to potential, that I know I don't live up to it, I've disappointed God. What about seeing the world through God's eyes? Now, let's kind of narrow, let's zero in a little bit more than this, and let's kind of go back to... Let's look at context here, and I think we might even be able to nail it down even closer. I think we might even get a little closer to the bullseye. Immediately before that, we talk about treasures. Store up your treasures in heaven, store up your treasures on earth. I think he uses that word treasure on purpose. It's supposed to solicit a certain mindset in us, which is things of value. And usually my mind goes to a treasure chest, and we open it up, and there's all that gold coins and stuff inside there. So we have treasures there, and we also have God and money after that. What if he's talking about, again, how you see the world? Are you a greedy person or are you a generous person? Are you someone, do the blessings that God gives you, the time God gives you, the talents God gives you, the treasures God gives you, do those blessings find a dead-end street with you? I've got them, I'm going to keep them, I'm going to hoard them. Or is it a throughway? God gives you blessings and you send them down the pipeline. God gives you blessings and you try to squirrel them over here. What is that? Are we greedy or are we generous and gracious like God is? You know, it said we live in a world that loves things and uses people. But God made us to be people who love people and use things. So maybe it's not just, maybe it's having a godly view of the whole world and our place in it. Larry?
We need to be real honest with ourselves that, you know, where everything comes from, whatever we're looking at, what we're doing, that it's, we're not just seeing it.
So you and Riley are just meddling tonight. Y'all are just meddling. Larry says we need to be honest with ourselves what we're doing and why we're doing it. Am I?
Right.
Yeah. What are we doing and why are we doing it? And sometimes the person that can get the best lie over on me is me.
Yeah, I may think I'm really, you know, giving a lot. And then somebody else looks at me and says, well, he's not doing anything.
Yeah. I have seen people who are far more dedicated to devoting their time and their talents and their treasures. They set the bar very high for me. We need to be people who see ourselves through God's eyes, not just with the love of God, but with the reality of God. He knows what we're capable of. We have a pretty good idea of what we're capable of. Sometimes we... Yes.
We make him very happy.
The parable of the talents. All the servants got some talents. The faithful servant's the one who put his talents to work and gave it back to the kingdom. The unfaithful servant's the one that buried him because he was afraid of the master, and he didn't use his talents to bless the king and bless the master. When we, well done, good and faithful servants, there for a reason, right? Our temporary stewardship that we have. Wow. I tell you, my hearing aids don't hear that bell. Whatever that tone is, they don't. Okay, thank you guys. Appreciate it very much. Thank you for your help. We will close and we'll pick back up, Lord willing, next week. Thank you. Y'all have a great evening. Appreciate your help.